over in Jeremiah chapter 3 and in Psalms chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 13 and Psalms chapter 51. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes, the Lord being gracious to us and allow us and enable us on confession of sin. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God. And you've scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. In Psalms chapter 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the tender multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my tongue, my mouth, shall show forth your praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in your good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou up the walls of Jerusalem. And then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. The title to this psalm tells us that this is when David had gone into Bathsheba and committed that awful sin of adultery, and then secretly conceived to kill Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, and then hide it and lie and play the hypocrite. The Lord sent His prophet to David, confronted David with the whole situation. David was suddenly brought to the conviction that I have sinned against God. And then, the title tells us, this is written by David's pen concerning his sin. And he says here in verse 3, I acknowledge my transgression. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. David never says anything about his sin against Bathsheba. Of course he sinned against Bathsheba. Of course he sinned against Uriah. But he knew that his sin ultimately was against God. This is why you and I are never allowed to avenge ourselves personally. What wrong is done us is not against us. It's against God. He that rejecteth you rejects me. They're not speaking evil of you, Moses. They're speaking evil of me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I want this evening for a few minutes to look at three things concerning David's confession, his acknowledgement. First, I want to look in verse 3 at the confession of sin itself. He says there, I acknowledge my transgressions. I confess them, and my sin is ever before me. And then, number 2, he seeks and finds in the heart of God a cause of forgiveness. And he pleads that. Thy love, thy kindness, thy tender mercy. And then David's faith in the Son of God and His atonement. Wash me. Cleanse me. First of all, then, I want you to look with me at David's confession of sin. I acknowledge my transgressions. I have sinned against the Lord. All have sinned against the Lord. But very few realize it. You and I, I'm sure, cannot begin to relate to this. At least I can't. Most of my conscious life, 5 years old or so, I was made conscious that I had sinned. I was made aware of that. But there are a few people in this life, no doubt, that go through this life and they're never aware in their conscience that they have sinned against God. David spoke of them as those who are not in trouble like other men are. They're not in trouble in their conscience. They live at ease. The rich man was never said to lift up his eyes until the flames of hell lifted them up. I don't understand that, but there's men that way. Paul said he had not known sin until finally God brought the law to his heart and let him see what sin was. Some people confess their sins but never obtain forgiveness. Pharaoh said, I have sinned against God. Even said, I'm a wicked person and my people are evil. I don't know if the Lord drowned him or not, but he died in his sins as far as I know. Wicked Balaam says, I sinned against God. They cut his head off. King Saul said, I've sinned against God. And for it I know died in his sin. And Judas said, I've sinned against God. And went out and hanged himself. All of these confessed their sin. And yet died in their sin. Notice some things here about David's confession of his sin. He knows something about his sins. He's thought about it. It's not as if David said, Lord, if I've done anything. There's nothing at all like that in David's confession of sin. He's thought about this. He's meditated upon his sin. He knows something about it. He describes it in these three ways, as the Scriptures often do. He calls it sin, he calls it transgression, and he calls it iniquity. Now that's not repetition. There's a meaning to those words. When Moses asked the Lord to show him His glory, he said, I keep mercy for thousands. And I forgive transgressions, iniquities, and sins. There's a distinction to be made in these things. David knew it, and he confesses all three. Sin, as you and I know it, it simply means to come short of what God requires. God has set a standard. And when we shoot at it and do not come up to that standard, God's requirement, then we have sinned. And ever since the fall of Adam, no man apart from the Son of God in our flesh has ever lived up to that standard. Yeah. The Scripture says all have sinned. What is it to sin? Come short of the glory of God. A man may wish it not, Moses said. A man may not be aware of it. Or a man may be aware of it. A man may do his best. But David said, in our best state, when we worship, when we prayed, when we've read, we come short. We sin. But David used another word here in verse 2. He said, iniquity. Iniquity. This has to do with being the servant of sin. It's not just shooting at the mark and said, my, I've missed it. It's not even trying to hit the mark. It has to do with serving sin. It has to do with just going on in sin. Be bound by it. Obey it. And that's what he had done. He lusted. He looked. And then he committed the act physically. And then he connived and committed murder. And then he lied and covered it up. Leave it in hypocrisy. And now here he is, confesses that he has been the servant of sin. And this word transgression, it goes even farther still. It has to do with lawlessness. It has to do with revolting, to rebel. I've rebelled. It's not been a mistake. No, it's more than shooting at the mark and missing it. It's more than just serving my sin. I've been a rebel against you. I've sinned against your word. I've sinned against the light. I'm a transgressor. And David said, I'm responsible. He doesn't lessen his guilt. He doesn't seek to shift it to someone else. He says, it's my transgression. It's my iniquity. It's my sin. Secondly, about his confession is this. He recognizes his sin and confesses it from God's perspective. He sees it through God's eyes. God opens David's eyes and lets him look through his eyes. And he says, here, I've done this evil in thy sight. That changes everything, doesn't it? I lived through my teenage years, and I often seen sin in my sight or in my parents' sight until God opened my heart. Then I saw what it was to sin in God's sight. When I was lusting, God was looking. When I was secretly conniving the death of Uriah, he was open and naked in God's sight. He was looking on. My motives, my deeds, my words. He was though as he was standing there looking at me and saw everything that I did. And now David sees it in a whole different light. How does it appear now, David? It's evil. It's evil. Oh, it's offensive to God. It's hateful to God. It's soul polluting. It's soul destroying. What is sin? It depends on whose eyes you're looking through. I have no problem. I have more problem believing in heaven than I do hell. Since I've saw sin in God's eyes. There has to be a hell. It has to be eternal. Because sin is evil. In God's eyes. David sees something else here. He not only acknowledges his sin against God, he goes farther than that. He said, God has made me to know that He knows. God has made me to know that He knows. It's not hid from God. And David said, here's how he makes me to know how he feels about my sin. He comes to me and he says, David, you've done this and you've done that. And I've seen it. And I want you to know I've seen it. And then he lays him down and breaks his legs and said, that's how I feel about your sin. He drove it home to David's heart. Your sin is not just against Uriah. Your sin is not just against Bathsheba. It's against me. And it's hateful and offensive. I love righteousness and I hate iniquity. And he smites David and breaks his bones. Can you imagine someone laying you on the ground and putting your leg upon a stump and taking a sledgehammer and busting your knees? How would that feel? That's the way David's heart felt. That's the way his conscience felt. Cause the bones which you have broken to rejoice. Thirdly, David's confession of sin was this. He acknowledged the root cause of his sin. David doesn't say, Lord, you know that I'm basically a good man. I've just done some evil things here. He doesn't say that at all. He doesn't go downstream and see that it's been muddied. He goes to the fountainhead. He goes to the cause of what he's done. How could I do this? Why did I do this? What caused me to do this? And he finds the cause. And he tells us here in verse 5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm more afraid of myself than I am the devil. I'm a worse enemy to myself. And you are too. You are too. David was a young lad. The Lord was with him. A lion came out and a bear came out to get some of David's little lambs. And David rose up against them and slew them. A blasphemous giant came out against the armies of the Lord. And little David with his sling and some stones went out and slew the giant. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Oh, here was a man the Lord had saved. He was a man after God's own heart. But here he is now, laying in the arms of a strange woman and plotting the death of her good husband. Sinning against God. How could he do such a thing? What would cause a man to do such a thing? He tells us. Here's the cause of it. And he didn't smile when he said it. He didn't wink with his eye to use this to excuse his sin. This is the cause of it. It's in me. The devil didn't make me do it. Bathsheba didn't make me do it. The cause is in me. And here's what it is. I'm evil by nature. I read an article about Adolf Eichmann. He was Hitler's right-hand man. And there was a young lady and her family were hiding out. And he personally, with some of his soldiers, came in. And before that young lady's eyes, he killed her entire family. And when the war was over, they finally caught him and he was getting ready to go on trial and she was a young lady then and she asked to sit down and speak with Adolf Eichmann. And she came away from that interview with him. And the reporters asked her about it. Why would you want to do this? What did you learn from this? And she says, the thing that scares me the most, as I've just left him and sat and talked with this man, he is perfectly normal. You can seem normal. You can be very religious. You can seem that way to others. And you can really be that way. But down beneath the religious facade. We teach our children to be polite, to say yes sir and no sir, and that's well and good. We should do that. But down underneath that manner and behind that little sweet tongue lies deceit. Down underneath that morality and smooth tongue and fair speeches is a cesspool of iniquity.
Yes, sir.
Is a heart that's deceitful above everything and desperately wicked, and nobody can know it. And I think sometimes, brothers and sisters, if you and I didn't forget it so easy, we'd never leave our house to see the face of man until we first saw the face of God. We're destructive. Misery are in our way. Why? Because of what we are. What's your trouble, David? It's what I am. That's my trouble. David acknowledges this in verse 4. Whatever judgment God was going to bring, it would be just. It would be right. God would be clear in it. And David said, I'll clear you myself. Isn't that what he said? Against thee and thee only have I done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. If you forgive my sins for Christ's sake, you're right. If you punish me for them, you're right.
Amen.
He clears God. I was talking with a dear friend of mine this week, and he said, you know what's amazing to me? How God can let evil people just go on and on and on and live and live and live. Or to destroy them all, he said. I said, if he did, he'd begin with you and me. Oh, we can look at mass murderers. We can look at open and profane sinners. And we can say, boy, they're going to get just what they deserve. But what about us? What about my sin? Will God be just in punishing my sin? What about my hard heart? What about my pride? What about my unbelief? What about my lust that I keep cooped up? Will He be just in putting me in hell? Will I call for a verdict? Will I say, here it is, this evil, here it is, render a verdict. Either punish me or forgive me, but you cannot do both. And we call for a verdict. We call for a verdict. Why do so many good things, bad things happen to good people? David didn't feel that way, did he? Am I willing to say to God, you render the verdict, and I'll justify you in it. Boy, that's a difficult thing, isn't it? That's a difficult thing. Fifthly is this. I've got to hurry. And here's the most important aspect, I think, of what I've got to say concerning this point. David acknowledges his sin, and he stops there. The verse I read to you in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13 says this, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. And David says here in verse 3, my sin is ever before me. I've acknowledged my sin. I've confessed it. And he did a pretty good job of confessing sin. He's articulated his confession very well. He knows something about sin. David, don't you feel better? I mean, confession is good for the soul, you know. I tell you what, confession of sin can be a very dangerous thing. if we trust in that confession to remove the guilt. Let me go to some man in a little booth and confess my sin and heal my wounds slightly and deceive my heart. That's dangerous. I confess my sin and now I want to be baptized. I confess my sin and now I'm going to join the church. I've confessed my sin and now I'm going to start getting my act together. I've confessed my sin and now I'm going to start reading a lot. Only confess your sin. Only acknowledge it and stop there. Yes. Don't do a thing to ease your conscience. You think that's not difficult to do? You've never had guilt upon your conscience. The last thing a conscience wants to do is bear the guilt with no relief in and of itself. But here the Lord says, that's what confession is. And that's what you're going to do. Only acknowledge it. What does David do here? He cuts himself off of any hope of forgiveness. He cuts himself off of any hope of forgiveness of sin if the cause of that forgiveness is found in himself. He has no cause. All he sees in him is evil. He confesses it, and he only confesses it. Now, if there's any hope of forgiveness, he must look away from his guilt. He must look outside of himself. And what he can be or what he can do. And he must find some cause in the heart of God to cause him to hope for forgiveness. And he finds it. He finds it. He finds it in verse 1. Thy love. Thy love. Thy kindness. Thy tender mercies. Covenant mercies. Sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of one greater than David. David sets these three evils that he sees in himself, his sins and iniquities and transgression, and he sets them over against what he sees in the heart of God. Love and kindness and tender mercies. And he says, now, let's see which one is the greatest. My evil is great. Is God's love greater? Is His kindness greater? Is His mercies greater? Paul did this very thing himself when he was writing to Titus. And he said, Titus, you remember your life and I remember mine. In our days of the flesh, we were disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, the love, there it is, and kindness, there it is, of God our Savior towards man appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. There you have it. We see what's in our own heart. And what is it? Evil. And we do nothing. We do nothing but set there with it upon our conscience. Then we look out of ourselves unto the heart of God. And we say, this evil in us is evil indeed. But what's in God? Good. Does His good outweigh our evil? Yes, then plead it. Plead it. Great misery, one said, draws out great mercy. If that's so, then plead. Where there's no merit to plead, then plead mercy. If there's merit to plead, try to plead it. And all you'll see is God's bad side. All you'll see is God's frowning face. If there's no merit, then plead mercy. Plead tender mercy. This is one of the most difficult things I ever did in my life. When you've sinned, and you've sinned, and you've sinned, and you're guilty, and you're guilty, and you feel like you're deserving of the awful wrath of God, it's difficult to see past all of that and see what's in the very heart of God. Is God love? Is He kind? Does He delight in mercy? How great are these attributes of God? Are they greater than my evil? Oh, we lack it in our doctrine. But put it in practice. You'll be a Christian indeed if you can put that in practice. Get along with God. Who said that? Get along with God and put this in practice. And if you can do that, you're a Christian indeed. God's grace is in your heart indeed. Thirdly and lastly is this. Notice David's faith in the Son of God. The Son of God incarnate. The Son of God in His atonement. Wash me from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David's not speaking about the blood of goats and bulls. He said, I'm not bringing a sacrifice. He said that in verse 16. If you required that, he said, I'd bring that. If you required blood, I would bring that. You don't require that. David's faith is not in a goat or a heifer. Who's his faith in? The Son of God and His atonement. But you say, Bruce, Jesus Christ hadn't even taken to Him flesh yet. He hadn't made the atonement for sin yet. He's not gone to the cross and cried, it's finished yet. Yes, He has. Yes, He has. I didn't lie in saying that. We hear about two Gospels. We hear about two Gospels up where I'm from. We've got one Gospel comes up to Matthew. They're saved by the law. Then we got another gospel, three gospels. We got a gospel for the Jews, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Acts. And then Paul comes on the scene, we get another gospel. No. Never been but one gospel. One gospel. Never been but one whose blood could cleanse from sin. Never been but one way to bring that blood to the conscience, and that's faith. Has the faith David had. Same faith you have. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. Had that happened yet? In the mind and purpose of God, it had. Are we in heaven tonight? In the mind and purpose of God, we glorify. God calls those things which be not as though they were. Jesus Christ, in the mind and in the eyes and in the esteem of His Father, has always been a lamb slain. The esteem of the Heavenly Father for His dear Son does not increase or diminish according to time or events. God always looks upon Him as a lamb freshly slain before the foundation of the world. Isn't that what Peter said? And there on the cross He hangs. And He's actually slain in our eyes. There He hangs. In His blood. It's been 2,000 years later. And He's in heaven in our glorified humanity. And the Father looks upon Him. And those spirits of just men look upon Him. And the angels look upon Him. And you know how they see Him? Freshly slain. And David knows this. So he pleads it
He pleads the blood, even though he knows in his own eye, according to his own measurement of time, it's not shed yet. But he knows God doesn't see as he sees. So he pleads the blood of God's Son. For Christ's sake, wash me. For your dear Son's merit, clothe my shame. When Abel took that lamb from his flock without blemish and without spot and took it up in his arms and put it between his guilt and his God, he was justified and accepted. The same blood that washes us from sin washed David from his sin. He loved us and washed us. David said, wash me. Wash me. The same blood that cleanses us today cleansed David. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. David said, cleanse me. His faith was in the same person. The same glorious person. The same blood. Jesus Christ. Take all your guilt. Confess it and stop that. Find in the heart of God a cause why He'd even look in your direction. And then turn your guilty conscience to Jesus Christ. You ever had the devil come to you? And he says, you've sinned the same sin. And how many times have you sinned it? You sinned over and over and over. Look at you. Look what a shame you are. You're worthy of hell. Why don't you just despair? You know what you need to do? Agree with him. And say, yes, devil, I've done it. I don't deny it. I don't deny it. But Jesus Christ has made full satisfaction.
Amen.
For my sin. All my sins. All my iniquities. All my rebellion. And I trust Him. In the face of my guilt, I trust Him. He may hide His face from me. I trust Him. He may chasten me sore, but I trust Him. Though He slay me. And I've never known this to happen. Find me a place in the Scriptures where this happened. I'd love to see it. Though He slay me, I'll trust Him. You trust in Him, He'll never slay you.
No.
He'll hold you up. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. Confession of sin. God, give us grace to do it. Amen.